Lesson 128, Part 1, Warming Up Exercises. Instruction following. How to make a proper English tea. You are going to hear some information about how to make a proper English tea. Listen carefully. Write down the important points in each step.
Miss Good, can you tell me how to make a proper English tea?
Well, you boil the kettle, but first of all you must warm your teapot to be sure that it has boiling water in it to make the teapot nice and warm. And then you add whatever tea it is that you like, Darjeeling, Indian, China, whatever sort of tea that you like yourself. And you put a teaspoonful for each person and one for the pot. And then you just add the boiling water to it and let it stand. How long do you leave it?
Oh, for a few minutes, till the tea is what we call brewed.
Brewed?
Yes.
What sort of colour? Very dark? Or?
Well, it depends. If you're going to have lemon tea, then you need it, you know, very light. You don't need so much tea. And you would add hot water to it in a water jug that you would add to the tea.
I see. I see many people have more milk tea than lemon tea in this country. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Is that more English way?
Oh, it is, definitely, yes.
And I see some people pour milk first and other people pour tea first. Which is the proper way?
The proper way is to put milk to the cup first and then pour your tea onto it.
What's the difference? In taste?
No, I don't think so. I think it just, you know, the tea poured onto it. If you put milk in afterwards, you sometimes get a fatty content around the top of the cup. But if you pour the tea into the milk, it's a much nicer cup of tea anyway.
Is that how you do?
Yes, I do, yes.
Part 2.
Of all things in the world, I most dislike filling up forms. In fact, I have a positive horror of it. Applying for a driving license, registering for an evening course, booking a holiday abroad. Everything nowadays seems to involve giving information about one's personal life and habits that has little or nothing to do with the matter in hand. When applying for a job, it may be of some obscure interest to a prospective employer to learn that I collect stamps or had measles as a child. But why should he conceivably want to know that my father was a tobacconist who lived in Fulham and died when he was 82? The authorities who require one to fill up forms frequently demand answers to questions that one would hesitate to put to one's intimate friends. The worst of it is that, when confronted with such questions, my mind goes blank, and I can hardly remember my own date of birth, let alone my nationality. Have I ever suffered from a serious illness? Have I? What do they mean by serious? I had my tonsils out in hospital when I was 8, and my mother always assured me I was delicate. But father contended I was born lazy. Do I suffer from any personal defects? Well, I wear contact lenses, and my upper teeth are not my own, but perhaps the word defects applies to my character. Am I supposed to admit that I like gambling and find it difficult to get up in the morning? Both of which are true. Of all, I think job applications are the worst. Education, previous experience, posts held, give dates. Terrified by the awful warning about giving false declarations, which appears at the bottom of the form, I struggle to remember what exams I passed and how long I worked for what firms. However hard I try, there always seems to be a year or two for which I cannot satisfactorily account, and which I am certain, if left blank, will give the impression that I was in prison or engaged in some occupation too dubious to mention. Even when the form is safely posted, there is no relief, as I hourly await a summons from some furious official to explain the discrepancies on my form.
Exercises. Complete the statements in the left-hand column, and then note down the supporting details in the right-hand column. Thank you.
life, I understand, is not just a kind of drink, but I think it's a more of a socializing thing.
Yes.
You have a lot of, it's almost ceremonies with teas, different kinds of teas. Perhaps you can explain to me about some different kinds of teas. First, afternoon tea. Is that the thing called afternoon tea?
Yes, this is what we've had today, is afternoon tea. But it varies in various parts of the country. I would serve like I did today if my friends came in, tea from a trolley, and we would hand the food round to them.
It's very nice. It is. You made us two kinds of sandwiches and lots of cakes. Do you call
them cakes?
Yes, cakes. With cream. And can you describe what you just made? You have the
Was a mixture of salmon, tuna, and sardine with a little vinegar and pepper done on a brown bread and just decorated with cress and tomato.
As for afternoon tea, could you describe me how it happens? I said afternoon tea, so it must happen in the afternoon.
Yes, about 4 o'clock. It depends, 4 to 5:30, but I always have tea for 4 o'clock, you know, for when my friends come. Or
but do you invite them at a party?
Yes, well, we would, you know, perhaps we've been to a class or something, and I say, come back and have tea. Or it can be a prearranged thing where various friends can meet other people and chat and, you know, just socialise, really. And you
for
have
how
tea.
Long?
Oh, they would go about, if you had the tea at 4 o'clock, till about 5:30, because then you have to start thinking of preparing the evening meal.
I see. Do you still have this tradition very much in this country or in your life about having afternoon tea? Sounds very traditional.
Well, we have always done it ourselves. I suppose it varies with different families, perhaps, but you find, you know, like in the North Country, they will have a totally different thing to us. They will have a high tea at 4:30 or something like that, 4:30. But they will lay a table and you will have cold ham and pickles and fruit cake and parkin and all sorts of things, you know, but it's a much bigger thing. But they wouldn't perhaps have a big evening meal in the evening.
So that could be more of the main meal.
It's high tea. It's when all the family can be together. It perhaps takes place more over a weekend because in the north perhaps they're also out working. But it's something where the whole family likes to get round and sort of chat and, you know, talk about the day's happenings.
How about the other kinds of tea?
Well, in the West Country you would get Devon and Cornwall, you would get cream teas. And that would be scones, no bread and butter, clotted cream.
What is scone?
Scones. It is it's a little cake then, if you like. It's made with flour and butter and a little sugar, and you cut it out with a metal cutter. And sometimes you can have currants in it, but if you're going to have cream, cream with it, it's better that they're plain. And then you glaze the top with a little milk or egg and milk, and they're just short. They're
short.
Well, not bread, and not very sweet like a cake. But when you've put the, it has a crumbly sort of, like some pastry we call short crust pastry. It is very crumbly and is very good because it has a lot of fat and things in it. And you just split it in half. It's like a tall cake, I suppose, about 3 inches high, and you split it across. Some people just have butter in it with jam. You can buy them in the shops, you know, ready made.
Hot dogs.
Well, they're nicer when they're warm, you know, not hot. But they just have a little of heat in them. They're nicer that way because they're nicer to eat.
I see. And that's cream tea.
Cream teas.
Exercise 1. Note down in the blank spaces the relevant information given by the interviewee. Exercise 2. Answer the questions.